Amen. Please do take your seats. And Will is going to come and bring a reading about Gideon from Judges.
Reading from Judges 6, 25 to 27. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asher pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood from the Asher pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime.
So we start today, as I say, our new series. It's called Be the Man, and it's all about what it means to be a Christ-following bloke in the 21st century. Now, just because it's about blokes and that, don't switch off if you're female. There'll be lots of good stuff for you too. But I do want the blokes to take note in the coming weeks as we think what it means really to be a Jesus-following guy in our current context, our culture. And we're going to do that by looking at different people and the way they reacted in the situations they faced. So today we are looking at this chap, Gideon. Now let's set the context. Gideon lived in troubled times. The people of Israel were supposed to be following God, and they weren't. They had lost sight of God. They had lost sight of their true love and worship, and everything had gone to pots, and there was these nasty other people who lived just next door, and they were called the Midianites, and they were rampaging over the land of Israel. They were stealing their crops, stealing their water, taking their animals, and really overrunning the country and making it a right mess. And the result was that the Israelite people found themselves hiding away and living in caves. That's an important point, because I want to ask you blokes, do you settle for living in caves? Do you settle for just hiding away in a cave somewhere as you go about your life? What I want to say, first point to blokes, come out from the caves. Now, it is dangerous out there. If you put your head above a parapet and declare that you follow Jesus, sure, that might land you in trouble, as Steve hinted for his work. And you may be ridiculed, and there may be all kinds of problems. And it is a rough world out there, and there's all kinds of bad stuff, and there's bad spiritual stuff. And it feels like the land has been rampaged. But as a Jesus-following person, are you supposed to settle for living in caves? I think not. Because think, as a Jesus-following person, think who you are. You are a son, and because this series is good for women too, a daughter of the King, of the God of the universe, the living God. And as a Christ-following person, you are following the one who has risen from the dead and conquered death and the grave. So do you really think, if that is who you are supposed to be hiding away in caves? No, come out from the caves. Now, it's not about how brave you are. It's not about how muscular you are or macho you are. Gideon wasn't any of those things. The deal with Gideon was that God was with him. God was with him. He was in himself quite a lowly person. You can read chapter 6, verse 15. He says, look, I'm from the least of the least of the least. I'm from this tribe of Manasseh. I mean, who's heard of a tribe of Manasseh? And within that tribe, I'm from a pretty insignificant clan. And within that clan, within my family, I am the least, I am the youngest brother. So there's nothing special about him. There's nothing big and strong about Gideon. But none of that matters. Because, as it says, verse 12 and 16, God was with him. So guys, I don't care whether you have the perfect abs or the best six-pack. Your wife might care about those things, but I don't care about that. What I care about is, do you understand the call of God on your life? And that if God calls you, then God is with you. And see the potential in that. It doesn't matter about your bravado or your muscles or anything like that. And that brings me to my second point. Because with Gideon, he was the least of the least of the least. But that didn't matter. God was with him. He was able to go on to do incredible things. So guys, understand this second point. When God is with you, size doesn't matter. You can take that whichever way you like. When God is with you, size doesn't matter. Know what I mean? It doesn't matter because it's the point that God is with you. Gideon goes into battle and God says, look, reduce the size of your army. It's too big. Cut it down, not cut down just to trim a few soldiers off the edge, but cut it right down and then down again. Reduce, because size doesn't matter. It's the fact that God is going with you. Now, interestingly, this chap Gideon asks a lot of questions. And he asks questions of God. He asks questions of the angel or the messenger or whoever's standing before him. And you might think, is that right? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to ask these questions like Gideon did? Doesn't that show lack of faith? Or is that okay? Am I supposed to do that? Because you see, Gideon, like verse 13, he questions. And then in verse 17, he says, look, can you give me a sign? Is it really you, God, who's talking to me? Can you give me a sign to prove it? And in verse 36, he asks for another sign. That's where we get this classic phrase in Christian speak, the fleece. Because he says, right, we're going to have this sign. We're going to put this fleece down. And if it's wet and the rest of the ground's dry, and then I'll know. And then, of course, God does that. And he has the audacity to say, well, let's flip it round. Now do the sign in reverse. In case it was a fluke the night before. Is that okay to do that, to ask for these signs? Well, I think it comes down to this. You see, there's a difference between open questions that want to enter into faith and closed moaning questions. So if you look at the history of the Israelites, and especially in the story in Exodus, the Israelites, they are brilliant are asking those closed moaning questions. Oh God, why have you brought us into this desert? There's no water, we're all going to die. And then, oh, we're all so hungry. Why have you brought us into this desert? We're all going to die. Closed moaning questions. But Gideon's question is a bit different because his heart is different. His heart, I believe, wants to believe. He's just struggling with the circumstances that he sees around him. So he says, well, God, you're the God who brought us as a people out of slavery through the desert, through that whole Exodus trek, and to this land. So why is it like it is now, rampaged by these Midianites? I don't get that. See, he's wanting to believe, but he's struggling with the circumstances around him. It's an open question that's looking towards faith. So my third point for us is be open to growth. Be open to grow, to see more of God, to appreciate what God can do and grow up into that. And actually, if you read the story of Gideon, and I would invite you to do this as homework, go home, read Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. Just read it as a story. Read that story at home, and you will see Gideon grows. There's a progression. So he starts verse 17. He wants this sign. God, is this even you speaking to me? How is that? What is going on here? And yet, later on, verse 34, you hear that he recognizes the voice of the Spirit of God, but then can't quite handle the enormity of the message that God is giving him. So he's progressed. At first he thought, is this even God speaking? Now he does recognize it, that God is speaking, but he can't quite handle the content and ask for a sign to help him do that. But then as you read on and go through to chapter 7, you see God gives him instructions and he just gets on with it. So he's grown. Started off not even wondering or believing that God has spoken to him. Moves on, he can hear God speaking, but he's not sure whether he can really believe it. And then later, God speaks and he just does it, just gets on. So he grows, so be open to growth. So that brings us to our challenge this week. It's a bit different this week than the challenge first, the key question later. So if we can go to the side, please, Ollie. So you're in your kitchen at home and you're having a think, and ask God in your normal home circumstance, what is my next growth area? And the thing I'd want to say to blokes is be proactive about this. Don't coast along through life thinking that maybe one day God might hit you and bump you into a little bit of growth. No, go to God and say, where are you calling me to grow in this next period? Where do I need to develop my spiritual muscles, my prayer life, my understanding of you, my faith in your purposes and what you want? Look for where that growth is supposed to be and be prepared and make the effort and do the spiritual exercises that will lead you through that growth. If you wanted to be a champion weightlifter, you would know that you would have to do lots of exercises and weightlifting and pumping iron and all that stuff to be that champion weightlifter. If you wanted to be a champion runner or a swimmer, you would know that you would have to train hard to do that. It's the same with our spiritual lives. We do have to train. We do have to do spiritual exercises. So get involved. A week like this, the week of prayer, provides lots of opportunities to do that in prayer zones, coming on Wednesday night, joining the prayer walk. Of course, the Gifts Workshop is another excellent place to get involved and grow and discover. Everyone who goes to the Gifts Workshop says, yes, I've learned something. I've grown through coming. So there's a clue there. Turning up and taking part is a good thing. So come and take part. Do the exercises and grow. Ask the Spirit of God to be your personal trainer. So, okay, show me what I need to do. Correct me where I'm going wrong. Tell me about the next phase. You see, I'm going to talk to the women for just a second here. Right. In this series on being the man and male spirituality, I'm making a wild, massive assumption about you women. Okay, and you can tell me whether I'm wrong or right from the outset as I go into this series making this assumption. So women, tell me, would you like, and I'm talking particularly to the married women, which I think is most of the women in the room. Women, would you like your man to up their game spiritually? Would you like that? Good, right, I thought if I make this a song, will I be, yes, I'll probably be right. Yeah, so blokes, take note. They would love you to up your game spiritually. They would love you to put in the effort and to allow God to enable you to grow. But now to the focus of this morning, which is why I asked Will just to read that snippet, verses 25 to 29. This deal with this Asherah pole thing. Now, that's, you know, ancient times, they had all this idol worship, and they would build physical objects. They would look at an animal like a cow. They would make an image, a stone image or a wooden image of a cow, and they would worship that. And then they would build obelisks, big poles that they'd plant in up on the hillside or in their land, and that would be the focus of their worship. And that's why they were in so much trouble, because when you're worshipping these man-made objects, you are not worshipping the living God. This is a problem. Okay, and Gideon's family had this whopping great big Asherah pole in their backyard, and it distracted them from worshipping the living God. And so God says to Gideon, take it down. And here's the point. To up your game spiritually, which your wives would like you to do. You've just heard it from them. So up your game spiritually. It may be necessary to identify and remove spiritual strongholds from your life or the life of your family orbit. Now remember, in the story you've got this physical Asherah pole, but what we're talking about is spiritual strongholds. Spiritual stuff, because remember, our battle as followers of Jesus is not against physical people, it's not against physical things, it's in the spiritual. So throughout this series, I'm going to keep referring to these verses that Paul writes in his letter to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chris gave a little snippet at the start of the service. It picks up at verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see what Paul's saying there? Paul is saying we are in a fight. We are in a struggle. But it's not the fight in the sense that everyone else thinks of fighting with fisticuffs and bombs and knives and blowing people up or even the power games that you see in the office and the politics and all that. It's none of that stuff. It's up in the spiritual realm. Discerning how things need to be shifted about spiritually. What is distracting people from true worship? What is blocking people from the grace of God? What is preventing people from discovering the incredible forgiveness and healing and rebuilding that God has to offer? All that is in the spiritual. Now, we go about our lives seeing things in the physical and think, well, if only I could get one over on my boss who's really annoying me, or there's that neighbor who's always parking their car outside my house rather than on their drive, or all that kind of stuff that is in our lives all the time. Learn to see that in its place. That is just world stuff. Your call is to look spiritually and think, what spiritually matters? Now, it may be that you discover a lot of that petty stuff about your boss or your colleague or your great aunt who annoyed you or whatever. It doesn't actually matter. You can let it go. As you train yourself to see things in their proper place in the worldly and the spiritual, then when the big struggles come, when the big attack comes, you'll be better placed to say, now what is going on spiritually? How am I called to pray in this situation. Because it's not about just the physical person coming against me. It's not about what they have said or haven't said. It's about what is happening spiritually. So Gideon was told to take this thing down. We know, of course, Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. We know that passage with your belt and your shield and your helmet and all that stuff. That passage says exactly the same thing. Our struggle is not in the world, it's in the spiritual. Now, Gideon had this pole. It was planted in the backyard, but no, Gideon himself had not planted it. His father had planted it. There may be stuff that effectively is forming a spiritual stronghold that you never put there yourself. But nevertheless, now is the time for you to identify it and remove it and take it down. So the key question going forward is, what distracts you from your God-given call? So here's your kitchen, and you may not have realized until today that you've got this whopping great big Asherah pole right in the middle of your kitchen, spiritually speaking, of course. Because you might have just thought it was normal. But now maybe the Spirit of God is showing you, and you're open to growth, and the Spirit of God is showing you, actually there's stuff right there in your household that you need to deal with and remove, because it's distracting away from true worship. It's a spiritual stronghold. It needs to be taken down. Now, Gideon did this at night because he was worried about what his family might think. I would say it would be better for you to do this in consultation with your spouse and in age-appropriate ways with your children. To actually say, well, look, I'm getting this sense that we do family life like this, or we've got this thing going on, and actually it's not that healthy. Do you agree with me? Can we change? Can we seek God? Can we pray? Can we move forward? Can we take it down? Can we live without it? Do it in consultation, as is appropriate, with your family. Remember, it's not about show, it's not about bravado, there's no need to tweet it, there's no need to put it on Facebook. It's a heavenly spiritual thing. So the fourth point is, don't make a show of it, just get it done. If you identify these things, if you see these things, no need for a show, just get it done. So now, or in a few minutes, I want you to do an exercise. And for some people could help me, if you could pass out a copy over here, and one each, and if you could help. And this exercise, everyone can do, men and women. You might want to do it as a couple, or you might want to do it with a mate or a friend. You might just want to sit on your own. Any of those options are perfectly fine. Whatever you feel most comfortable with. But in this exercise, what I want you to do is, first of all, with this challenge and key question as a backdrop, first of all, is trace a circle. Trace a circle around you. Trace a circle around you and your family, your closest to you, your loved ones. Everyone's got one, right? Yeah, fantastic. And in that circle, seek God. Think, this circle, this little bit of land, this space around me, this orbit of my life, this is going to be a place of revival. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God until it hurts for this place to be a place of revival. Blokes, step up to your responsibility for you and your family. Pray for your own personal revival. Pray like smoke for the personal revival of your wife and your children. But here's a catch. Blokes, please, in stepping up to your responsibility for you and your family, don't think that that translates into you getting your way in every decision and argument. It doesn't. Because in you praying for revival for you and your family, you want them all to flourish in the purposes of God. And flourishing in the purposes of God sometimes can mean that God leads them to ideas and plans and suggestions that you wouldn't naturally come up with. And you might be tempted to just say no to. You think, well, no, actually, for them to flourish, I need to say yes to their idea rather than my idea. So it's not just about you getting all your own way. It's about stepping up to responsibility to see how does God want us to flourish in his purposes. Trace a circle. Number two, draw a line. Identify anything that is bad, anything that is unhealthy, anything that is not wholesome, and say, right, that's it. I'm drawing a line over that. I'm pushing that away. I'm leaving that behind. I'm moving on. I ain't doing that stuff no more. I'm moving forward from that. Drawn a line. And then third, of course, is stand forward. Be prepared to step up and forward. Say, I'm part of this. I'm in. For me, no more hiding in the caves. Now, Gideon, with his reduced army, goes against the Midianites, and God gives them incredible victory. You can read about that in chapter 7. Gideon goes further in chapter 8, and I'll summarize. In chapter 8, at the hands of Gideon, the Midianites get well and truly stuffed, to put it briefly. You can read that as homework as well. But there's a sad thing at the end of chapter 8, verses 22 to 27. Gideon has success, but then he has a trophy made. Now, let me tell you, trophies are troublesome. And they're not good, because that trophy becomes, for Gideon, an object of worship. So what does that do? Leads him around full circle back to having an unhealthy spiritual stronghold in their midst. It's not good. But we can see from that that Gideon was not perfect. And yet God was still able to use him powerfully and mightily for the whole nation. So I'm not expecting you guys to step up and be perfect. Your wives might require you to be perfect, but I don't need you to be perfect. But just step up and grow. Come out from the caves. Don't worry, size doesn't matter. Be open to growth. And the things that God calls you to do, especially removing the bad stuff, just get it done. And be the person in the family flourishing that God wants you to be. Let's pray for a moment. Dear Father God, move among us. Lift our eyes, lift our sights to you, the King, the risen Lord, the conqueror, the one who has conquered even death and the grave. Show us, Lord, where there are things that we need to take definitive action. Show us, Lord, where there are things where we need to take that stuff down and put it away, put it beyond use. Help us, Lord, to step up in your purposes, to be your people of grace, and to go where you are leading.